is Juntos We Shine, a podcast about inspirational people who lift up and nurture their communities in visionary ways. Hello, I'm Karina Banda. Welcome to Juntos We Shine, powered by Target. Justina Machado grew up in the northwest side of Chicago to Puerto Rican parents, a combination that she says makes her fiery, outspoken, compassionate, and loving. Like her character, Penelope Alvarez, in the highly praised series One Day at a Time, Justina is passionate about celebrating Latino family values.
Mom, I'm not having sex.
Oh, thank God! Oh, you're way too young. And guys are really bad at it in the beginning anyway. Not that I want you to be with the older guys.
Stop talking!
She says she's proud to have the opportunity to change the narrative about Latinx contributions and breaking down stereotypes.
If you're looking for representation, any representation, you got it on One Day at a Time. Whether it's LGBTQ, veterans, PTSD, immigrants, addiction, all of these things. And all of these things help to change the narrative.
Welcome to Juntos We Shine. I can tell you how happy I am to meet you in person after watching you on TV for a long time. And let me tell you something. I'm a huge fan of One Day at a Time.
Thank you, Karina. I love that you love One Day at a Time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for being here. And we also have Kenneth Roman, Justina's little brother. Yes. Who's here to celebrate here?
And girl, all, he's 6'2". Right? I'm 5 feet tall. He's 6'2". Yes.
The big sister. I know this is the first time you are together in an interview.
And he's nervous.
Oh, don't worry.
He's like, oh, God. Yes. I'm like, don't be nervous. It's all good.
Let's go to your childhood in Chicago.
Okay. Well, I'm first generation. My parents were born in Puerto Rico. I was born in Chicago. I would say a working class family, a lower middle class, maybe working class, very check to check. I moved around a lot when I was little because we didn't have a lot of money. So I went to 5 different schools by the time I was 10 years old. So that, in fact, taught me how to, like, you know, reinvent myself, get to know people. Always being the new person is scary, but also gives you a lot of courage in life at the same time. And I grew up with my mother and my grandmother until my mother remarried, which is Kenny's father, Kenneth Roman. He's named after his father. Mm-hmm. How many Puerto Ricans do you know named Kenneth? I don't know. Kenneth. You know what I mean? Kenneth Roman. But it was a childhood that was just mainly family. Because we moved around so much, we didn't really play outside. I didn't have a lot of friends outside. I was kind of always in the house with my other brother, Ismael, who's like a year younger than I am. And my family was very tight. Everybody worked at the same factory. All my tios, all my cousins worked at this one factory in some suburb in Chicago. So
what type of factory?
I think they all worked at, they made plastic. I don't know what it was called, but my tio Pello would pick them all up and they'd all drive to the factory together. And there wasn't a lot of art around me. There wasn't a lot of wealth around me. There wasn't a lot of stuff that I could aspire to be. So it's really interesting that this kind of happened.
Yeah. And Kenny, what was Justina like as a big sister?
I was lucky to have her. She was the inspiration that she didn't have, you know, and she provided that. She was amazing. We just looked up to her. We wanted to be around her all the time. She was just such a positive light in our life. And I was, every time she came to visit, I was like, I would hang out. I would get mad when she would go out with her friends. I'm like, why aren't you hanging out with me? I'm like 5 years old. I want to hang out.
He always wanted to hang out. He wanted to do that all the time.
And I'm sure that was a big responsibility for you as a sister, being a good example for them.
Well, I wanted to, because there's a lot of friends that I had in Chicago that had older brothers and sisters, and they'd be like, ah, yeah, that's my brother, but I don't know him. Or that's my sister, I don't know them because they're so much older. And that always scared me, because I didn't want them not to know me. So, because I also have a sister who's 14 years younger, and the twins are 17 years younger than I am. So it was fun. I had like little babies to dress up and take to the movies. I remember the first time I took these two crazy kids to see the Ninja Turtles, and they were running around. I was like, ay, Dios mío, I can't handle these kids.
Yeah, she would take us to preschool like every day.
Oh, wow. Indeed. So I would, my heart would break when I would drop them off, and they'd be like, don't leave. I'd be looking at, oh my God, it was weird.
So when did you realize that you wanted to be on stage and begin pursuing your career in acting?
Well, when I was 10 years old, my mother came home with a bunch of pamphlets. There was a new thing in Chicago called magnet schools. And it was where they would bus us to schools if we had great grades. And by a miracle, I had great grades because we moved around so much. You know what I'm saying? So my mother said, which one of these schools would you like to go to? And the other two were like math and science. I was like, I don't want to do math and science. And then this one was like dance and drama and art. I was like, whoa, that sounds good. So I went there for 3 years. And then I went to a technical high school, which makes no sense, where I had to do drafting. Mm-hmm. And I did not do well. Let's put it that way. I was not an A student in that situation. He went to the same high school, yeah. actually. So it wasn't until I was working at a bank. I was working at the First American Bank on Adams and Wabash, downtown Chicago. And I was so depressed. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was 18 years old. I had graduated from high school. I'm like, what am I going to do with my life? And then my best friend, Ileana Mitchell in a high school, and her mother, Mirna Salazar, was a talent agent. And she called me up at work one day and she goes, there's this audition for this play at the Latino Chicago Theater. And I know you're not an actress, but they need a young Puerto Rican around 16. And I was 18. So I went in, I had no experience. Juan Ramirez, who was the artistic director, gave me the part. I love him. Said, oh, wow. I know you're not an actress, but I'm going to surround you with a bunch of actors that are going to uplift you and you're going to learn from them. And so that's how it started. I just walked in because I didn't know what to do with my life. So I was like, all right. And then I saw everybody that was there and they all looked old. You know, when you're 18, everybody looks old. I was like, yeah, I got this. They're like 22. Wow. They're old.
That's amazing, right? That someone gave you the opportunity, yeah. even though you weren't prepared.
Yeah, es un angelito en la vida. Sí, que viene angelito siempre en la vida.
So when did you decide to move to New York?
Yes. Well, because I had been doing so much theater in Chicago, I did play after play after play, and I realized that either I was going to stay in Chicago and have a career, like a theater career, because back then they didn't really shoot a lot of stuff there. Or if I was going to go for it, I was going to go for it. So then, back then, the natural thing was Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. So I just decided to move. And I found an apartment on the Lower East Side. I left the day before my 22nd birthday. And I was totally alone on 2nd between B and C. And that was a rough neighborhood. Like in the 90s.
Was it called Alphabet City? The
Alphabet City is still called Alphabet City, yeah.
Wow.
So I got a little apartment and I was so, you know, I was fine. I loved it. I really did.
Yeah. You have to love it and you have to feel passionate about it, right?
You have
Otherwise,
to,
you can't.
You're by yourself. Yes. Because that's the biggest thing. People always talk about talent and talent has a lot to do with it, but also perseverance and being brave.
For sure.
Is everything.
That's the key, I guess.
Yes, you have to have courage. Otherwise, you can be the most talented person in the world and nothing happened for you because you tiene miedo, you don't want to leave the house, your mother's house or this house or what you know. I had seen The Secret, I don't even know, it was like the early 2000s, and I really wanted my brothers and sister to see it because it's all about what I was already doing and I didn't know that it was powerful. You know, when you're little and you start to visualize things and you start to say, this is what it's going to be like, even if it's nowhere in sight, but you start imagining, and basically that's what it was. It was reaffirming what I grew up with in my make-believe mind, visualizing, making a vision board, walking around the neighborhoods you might want to live, all of those things, creating your life, manifesting your story. And he was like 15 or 16. And then he started doing a vision board of what he wanted. So then when he graduated from high school, I said, you have to come to LA to live with me. And he said, I don't know. I don't want to start over, which was hilarious because he's 16.
I don't want to start over, bro.
Really? Your life is just starting. Right. So, but that's a fear that I think a lot of us have, especially when we grow up in a close Latino family, and any kind of immigrant family, actually. It's something that, you know, you feel safer with what you know.
Well, I had the benefit of having you. You know, you completely went on your own, which is so much braver. And even for me, having you there was still scary. So I can only imagine but moving to New York at like such a young age would be like...
It was fun, though.
Yeah. And was it hard for you to find work
in New York? Yes. No. The first day I got there, I got a job. The first day I got there, I got a commercial audition. And then because I had gotten an agent before I moved to New York, I did all
that.
So
you were prepared.
I was prepared at least with that. So I had an audition that first day. And then I was off to Boston to make a commercial.
Oh,
it was the first time I was on location. So when I walked in and they were like, this is the worst Boston accent. But they're like, do you have a charge card? I was like, what? A charge card. I was like, I have no idea what a charge card is. And I didn't have a charge card. I was 22. I barely had any money.
So can you talk to me about 6 feet under?
Ooh, 6 feet under. 6 feet under, basically, changed my life. Okay. I had been working consistently before Six Feet Under, but it was always like guest stars and things like that. And I remember that I didn't know who Alan Ball was. I was like, who's Alan Ball? And they said that he just did American Beauty. And I love that movie. They sent me the pilot to watch. And I said, who the hell's going to watch this? I thought it was so weird opening with the death and all this.
For those who might not remember the show, it was an HBO series that ran from 2001 to 2005 about a family who owns a funeral home in Los Angeles. And when the father dies, the brothers take over the business. And it was dark, ironic, and wonderful.
And it was so bizarre, but Freddie Rodriguez had already been cast. Okay. And Freddie Rodriguez and I grew up together in Chicago. So we grew up in the same neighborhood. I've known him since I think we were like 15 or 16 since we've known each other. So it was to go in and play his wife. And it started off as just a little role, and then it just grew over the years.
You were originally a supporting character, but eventually you became one of the main characters.
Yes. Yes, that was exciting. And they loved the chemistry that Freddie and I had together. And I think what was so beautiful about the Six Feet Under was that there was so much dignity to those two characters. You know, we weren't the brunt of the joke. We weren't just the Latino family that was off to the corner. They were the most normal and they loved and they were the most compassionate and they were a loving family. And I'll tell you a little story that happened on Six Feet Under once. In the second season, there was a writer that we had that wanted Freddie and I to just bust out into Spanish out of nowhere. There, you know, there was like a realtor at our house and he wrote this scene. And Freddie and I were both like, this scene is weird. Like, we're first generation. We wouldn't just start speaking Spanish for the sake of it because we knew that's what he was going for. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to say that we spoke Spanish, you know, and it's if it doesn't come organically, it's offensive, quite frankly. I get offended by that. So I remember we went to him and we said, can we change this? And he's like, no, it's more colorful that way. Which it's like, really? More colorful? Okay. But then Alan Ball, we went to him and Alan Ball absolutely changed it. Oh, wow. So there was always dignity. There was always integrity. And it wasn't about pointing out. And believe me, we're always proud of who we are. We're always proud of representing, but we want to do it the right way.
Yeah, and with you telling me that, I'm assuming that every time you take a role in a movie, you really consider that, right? Like,
I do. Sometimes it's part of the character, and sometimes it's maybe not a character that looks great on paper, you know, but then you start looking at the levels, the layers that this character has. And once in a while, those are okay to take. I try to look at it and I try to say, am I saying something? Is something coming of this? You know, like I was on Queen of the South. You know, Queen of the South is about cartel. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to put that out there. But the thing about Queen of the South is it's not a happy story. Everybody dies. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets finished. We're not glorifying, or they're not glorifying, because I'm not on the show anymore. They're not glorifying this way of living. They're just telling a reality. And this is a reality, unfortunately, in our world.
Yes, in our world.
So, yeah, I try to do that because I really want to change the narrative of what's been out there with us. Yeah.
And Kenny, for you, how was it when you saw your sister on TV and you're like, oh, I have a famous sister.
Right, yeah. Everyone asks me that. They're like, is it weird seeing your sister on television? And the thing is that like, she's such a phenomenal actress. I don't even think of her as my sister as I'm watching her. I'm like, brother. It's the character that I'm watching. So no, I don't really get like that. Of course, I'm like super proud of her and everything, but I'm more just impressed by her talent all the time, you know?
And we know that your characters are often very passionate and outspoken. You are like that in real life.
Yeah, you think?
Mm,
I'm like this. I can't keep my hands down. I'm like, calm down, girl. Calm it down. Yes, I am. But I think that's a trait that a lot of us have. I don't think it's exclusive to me. And I think that that's why One Day at a Time resonates so much with every person of any ethnicity, because it is something that I think we share. Passion, you know, lots of passion. That's a stereotype that is true.
Yeah.
Lots of passion.
And we're proud of it.
I'm very proud of it, you know? And a lot of love and a lot of, and loud,
and
you know?
Happiness.
I mean,
happiness. We're happy people,
we're
right?
happy. Yeah. Even when it's tragic, we'll try to make something. How many times have you been to a velorio? And there's
literally
music,
jokes, you know,
mariachi, jokes,
yeah, y todo el mundo. Exacto, yes. You know, yeah. So it's like a celebration of life too.
Yeah. Going back to your characters, is there any one of your characters that you feel most connected to?
I think I would say Penelope from One Day at a Time, the most connected.
If you haven't seen the show, you have to look for it. It's a reimagining of the classic series from the 70s about a single mom raising her kids. But this time around, it's a Cuban-American family, and Justina's character is an army veteran who's battling post-traumatic stress syndrome.
It's a woman who lives with her mom. I mean, I grew up with my grandmother, and my grandmother lived with us the whole time. I mean, when she passed away, she died in the house. So that's something that is big in our culture. Yes, you know that.
Yes.
I love that she loves her kids. I love that she's trying to make them better. She's funny. She's passionate. She has all these layers. So she is the character that I most resonate with that I've ever played. I liked Vanessa Diaz very much too on 6 Feet Under. I liked her a lot. But this one is just the one that is the best that I've ever had. And this character, Penelope, she suffers from PTSD. But they're showing PTSD in a way that I'm really proud of. Because sometimes when we see PTSD, when they show it to us, it becomes like they went off the rail. They're crazy. And I'm sure that those things happen. But there are people that live with it every single day and are good people and try every day to get better and better. And they can still have a normal life. I love that. I think if you're looking for representation, any representation, you got it on One Day at a Time. You know, whether it's LGBTQ, veterans, PTSD, immigrants, addiction, all of these things. And all of these things help to change the narrative because I've been in Hollywood for a long time. And I can tell you that they like to put you in a box. And it's starting to change because people don't want that anymore. But I will say that the boxes for Latina actresses have been like the over-sexualized Latina, the asexual cop, the suffering mother, or a game banger. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things that have been in these boxes. And to be able to show that this is a family, that anybody can relate to. It's a universal story about love, about family. Life, about social issues. Mm-hmm. It's an immigrant story. And it's like, you know, we get so used to not seeing ourselves on the screen that it's shocking. It's shocking, I'll tell you, how many people have said, well, I don't know if I could relate to this show because I'm not Latina. I'm like, really? Because I grew up watching all white shows and I relate.
Right.
I relate. Mm-hmm. Because it's about what's happening here and there, you know?
We're humans.
We're human beings, yes. Exactly. So to bust that out so that people go, wow, I'm not Cuban, but I love that show. I'm like, I'm not Cuban either. And I love that show too. That's always my thing. Yeah, They're like, I'm Mexican. I'm like, that's all right. I'm Puerto Rican. It's okay, guys. We have a lot of similarities.
It's not about nationality.
Exacto.
Right?
No es eso. No. It's not about this does different. It's about the similarities
we'll
that
feel
we have.
The same. We'll go through the same.
We do. Yeah. We just might do it with something different. You know, a little cafecito, a little una musiquita. Ahí mismo.
Un pan dulce.
Un pan dulce, nena. Okay.
Guayaba.
Mofongo. A mí me encanta mofongo. Olvídate todo. Exactly. But it's the same what we're doing.
And in that show, you get to work with Rita Moreno. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit because we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
En nuestro próximo episodio de Juntos We Shine, presentado por Target, conocerán a Roselyn Sánchez, la maravillosa actriz puertorriqueña que ha hecho papeles memorables en programas como Grand Hotel, Devious Mates y la película Rush Hour 2.
¿Cómo encuentras tú como mujer y como mamá y como esposa y actriz ese balance?
Sí. Es una negociación constante. Yo dejé la maternidad para bastante tardecito por el afán de trabajar y quiero trabajar y yo quiero llegar a un nivel y tengo que llegar a este nivel y el niño va a ser un problema. Hasta el día que dije ya tengo 35, en esa época dije todas las actrices y la gente que yo admiro, todas son madres. Y todas lo están haciendo bien. Carreras exitosas. Y dije, se puede. Y el mismo approach ahora con el matrimonio. No es fácil. Pero se puede. Se puede.
Welcome back to Juntos We Shine. And Justina, you have said that it's incredible to work with Rita Moreno.
Yes, it is. Because as you can you know, imagine she was one of the first ones that broke down these barriers that, you know, opened the door for us. And I believe that every single one of us have that responsibility to open the door for the next generation. And not only did she open the door, kick the door down, dance through the door, she's still doing it. She's 87 years old. She is one of the most incredible artists I've ever worked with. She loves what she does. She's proud of who she is. And I think she's iconic, period, but especially for our community, she is incredibly iconic. So to be able to be opposite her and learn from her and play with her is one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my career.
And have fun with her. I was watching the bloopers from the show.
She's hilarious. Yes. She's amazing.
And when it comes to the gays, the Pope did say, who am I to judge? And the Pope represents God. So what? Am I going to go against the Pope and God? Who the hell do I think I am? Okay. Okay, I'm good.
Even though the show had great reviews and some critics call it one of the best shows in 2017, Netflix decided to cancel it earlier this year. But then the fans mounted like a major campaign to bring it back. How did it feel to see such an outcry?
It was amazing. First of all, I was shocked when Netflix canceled it because of all the stuff that was going on. I know Rotten Tomatoes is a thing now, right? That's like a big thing. And so we would have like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Also what the show meant.
Exactly.
We didn't set out to be that kind of show. We were just telling our stories. It just so happens that this is what resonating, this immigration. We told that story way before they opened up those camps, way before they started separating families. We were telling that story because that's something that in the Latino community we deal with every day. So it was such an important show. And so it was a little shocking when that happened. So when the uproar came from the fans, it was, I thought, okay, maybe. I'm going to be honest. I didn't have a lot of faith. Who did have a lot of faith were our showrunners, Gloria Calderon-Kellett, Mike Royce, you know, Todd Grinnell, who played Schneider. I'm sure Isabella Gomez did. I was like a old Hollywood jaded, like, oh, well. I'm to the next. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Although it was devastating. It was devastating. But I thought, okay, let's just keep on. But that's the positive side of social media, because we know there's a part of social media that maybe sometimes isn't so nice. But what I love is that it brings people together and that people who have a common voice, it gives like a lot of power behind that common voice. So when it came back and they said we were getting picked up again, I couldn't believe it. And that was a lot of hard work from Sony, a lot of hard work from our executive producers, because this show means so much. And it's more than us having a job. It's about us continuing to tell these stories.
It was canceled by Netflix, but then it was picked up by Pop TV.
By Pop TV, which has made a big name for themselves with Schitt's Creek. And it's very popular. And so this is a whole new audience for us.
So in the show, you play a mom.
Yes.
You don't have kids. But having Kenneth next to you your whole life, he was like your son, right?
Yes.
Is she a cool mom or a tough mom?
Both, actually, because, you know, that's what's so great about her. She's just always so honest, and so it's about principle and what's right, but also so caring and so generous. And anytime any of us have any problem, like, the only person on earth that I want to speak to help me, like, get through it is Tina. First person I call. Just Tina, sorry.
You can call me Tina.
I'm always like, who? Like,
oh, yeah, Tina. Tina, yes.
Yeah, so it became also, like, a friendship, right? Like, a huge friendship.
My brother and I? Oh, for sure. Because when he was younger, it was just about him being my little brother. And now that when he came to live with me, you know, I had to be me and he had to be him. So that's where I think we really developed a brother-sister relationship. Yeah. Because before, it was more like a second mother, like child relationship. And you can't live like that with brother and sister. So yeah, he's my best friend for sure. Definitely.
Part of the reason why I moved to LA is because I knew that I could be myself around Tina and like just be completely who I want to be, and she would support.
And so you were having a hard time finding what you felt passionate about or what you wanted to do for a living. What are you doing now?
I'm a fashion designer.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I knew that from a pretty decently young age. I was more dealing with my sexuality and being gay and like being in Chicago, which is really tough and it's hard hard to be. And you know, maybe if I went back, I could have been myself. But it's hard. You want to be tough. You don't want anyone to take advantage of you or bully you. So once the first time I came to visit Tina, I was like, oh yeah, this is totally for me. I'm moving here. And the second I turned 18, I just like packed my bags and moved with her.
And we had a conversation when he came to live with me because. Because he was, I mean, we all knew that he was probably gay. Mm-hmm. But we wanted him, of course, to tell us, you know? And everybody in my family was incredibly open to that. That has never been anything in my family. But I remember that he sat on my couch and I was like, all right, Kenny, we got to have a conversation. Because he was going on dates with girls. And I'm like, what? I thought he was gay. I was like so confused,
right?
You were confused, right?
Like, so what's going
like,
on
Kenny,
here?
What, are you gay? Mm-hmm. I was like, you cannot live in my house and not tell me the truth. You have to tell me the truth. And even with that, it was hard for him. Uh-huh. So can you imagine what it's like when they don't have any kind of support? When no one is supporting that kind of thing? Which is a big... You know, it's just something that we should be more aware of in our community.
Right.
Yeah, and it was great that you guys were able to have that conversation, right?
Because yeah, I had
just
to
like
have
you
it with
said,
him.
Like sometimes you feel nervous or you don't feel brave enough because what if I hurt his feelings or what if? And then the what if and you keep living and you don't know how he's really feeling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I can't live like that. No. I'm always like, and as soon as he told me, I was like, I picked up the phone. I called my mom. I'm like, all right, he's gay. And my mom was like, okay. I was like, all right, we went out with our date. I didn't even let him do it. I was like, I'll take over after this.
So like, I only really had to come out to her that it was.
Then it was a done deal.
Yeah.
I got the boca. So,
yeah,
you know.
She was your PR.
Exactly.
It was his total.
Relaciones públicas.
Tina Milagro Machado. Aquí hablando.
So now that you are a fashion designer, have you designed any clothes for her?
I'm going to work on. I typically, this is the thing, is that I, when I became a designer, I'm more about, like, the art of it, and I just want to do, like, crazy, weird things, you know? But, like, I'm at this point in my life, I'm starting to get into, like, okay, like, doing really cool wearable clothes. So it's coming now, I swear. It's going to
Yes. I'm not into crazy weird, as you can tell. But, yes, I'm like, really?
It's
nothing?
Happening.
I've had nothing from him.
We
got
it planned out.
You have done, like, some works for big celebrities, right?
Yeah, I've done some pretty cool stuff. I've done a lot of stuff like Kelly Clarkson. You know, I've been in, like, People magazine for, like, some weddings.
His Kelly Clarkson dress. My brother's
cool.
Dress.
Yeah,
super
cool.
Thank you. I just, like, lay back.
Cool. Yeah, super, super humble. And,
exactly.
Well, I'm sure you were super proud of him.
Right? I'm proud of what he's doing, but I'm mostly proud of... what an incredible human being he is.
Yeah.
And that is truly, I don't know anybody who doesn't love my brother. So that to me is what makes me proud.
And I love the fact, behind the scenes, when you got here, he was helping you and
he's helps
next
me.
To you. That's so great
always.
That you guys can share that together.
Yes.
Right?
We're always together, always. And if the other brothers and sister lived here, we'd always be together too. He was at the show almost every week, watching the show, the taping. So we're always together.
So normally I'm like sitting back there watching.
Yeah. He's normally there, yeah.
Do you miss living in Chicago?
No, not at all.
No?
And all my Chicago people are going to be like, what?
Mexicans are going to be like, what? You don't miss our tacos at all.
By the way, amazing.
We miss
that,
those, yeah.
That food is that, oh my God. The Mexican food, people don't believe me, but the Mexican food in Chicago is lo mejor. Yeah. I love it. No, está muy frío. Nena, está muy frío. And I was like, and it's so extreme, that weather, que it's like, I can't handle it anymore. No me gusta, no. But I love the city.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that I grew up there. Because I think that city just showed me life, you know. Mm-hmm. I was on the L, which is the elevated train, and the subway and the buses by myself when I was 10, 11 years old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I knew the city. I got around. And the diversity of the city, too, is something that I grew up with. So it was a wonderful place to grow up.
And of course, now you love L.A.
I love L.A. I know people always are freaked out by that. They're like, you like L.A.?
How come?
I love L.A.
How come?
I think this is a super magical place. I think this is a place that your dreams can come true one day to the next. And I love Los Angeles. It took me a while, though. I didn't like it for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was wanting to move back to New York for 10 years.
And I think that's a challenge for most of us when we move from a different country, from a different state, to get comfy in the place and feel at home.
Yes.
That's hard.
It
right?
is. It, I mean, I can only imagine because you came from another country. So, yeah, it's a big adjustment to make.
It is. But that's why I always think you need to be passionate for what you're doing and you are looking for.
Because you sacrifice a lot.
Yes, you're sacrificing a lot. Mm-hmm. Being close to your family.
Oh, forget it. Like me, my family, I missed all the birthday parties, all the quinceañeras, all the bautismo, all of those things I missed. And it's weird. You go back, everybody's grown up. It's a big sacrifice.
So it's never too late.
Yes.
One of your favorite quotes.
Yes, it is, because my first starring role ever, and I have been doing this since I was 18, 19 years old. I was 42 or 43 years old. I can't even remember. But that was my first starring role, maybe 44. But it's never too late. Who would think that you could get that part, a starring role at that age? Because Hollywood is so obsessed with age. The world is really obsessed with age, quite frankly. So it's like, it's never too late. So when somebody says, oh, I don't think I can do it, man. I'm already 30 or I'm already this. I'm like, what are you talking about? You got a lot of years.
Yeah, of
is
course.
That the way you want to live? It's never too late.
So season 4 of One Day at a Time.
Yes.
New season, right?
Yes.
And also, you will be sitting in the director's chair and also producing.
That's right.
Is this something that you always dream about?
No, not the directing. I always wanted to produce, always. And that, to me, is a big deal. And I'm so excited that I get to start with this. I want to create content. I want to give people opportunities because it's hard to get in the door nowadays. So I'm so excited to bring new talent, to discover new people, let people have a voice. The directing, no, that was Eva Longoria. Eva Longoria was all the time like, girl, you got to direct. And I was like, no, I don't want to. She's like, you have to. It's your show. When are you going to get the opportunity? And then finally, I was at her house one day. And she said it again. And I said, all right, I'm going to direct. Can I shadow you? Which means you go and you follow her the whole day. And she happened to be working on Black-ish. So I spent the whole week with her on Black-ish. And she's a phenomenal director. I mean, yes, Eva Longoria is, first of all, she's a powerhouse. I mean, one of my dearest friends. I love her so much. And she's really the reason that I did it. And now I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very excited. At first I wasn't. And now it's, I can't wait to do it.
I can see you have the personality to be directing.
Oh, thank you.
Right?
Thank you. See, I hope so.
Yeah, of course. And it's so nice seeing Latinas helping each other, supporting each other, motivating each other.
Listen, I don't think there's one Latina actress that I know in this business that is not like that, that is not trying to help somebody. This is something that I wish people saw more of. I wish they understood how much we help each other and props each other up.
So when you tell me all the Latinas are supporting each other, we may think that it's not like that.
I know. And this is why I think it's so important to say this. And what it is we love each other, we support each other, we mentor each other, and we all want to do the same thing. We all want to push our people forward, ourselves forward, the art forward. We want Hollywood to really be inclusive, to really have diversity, and to really start telling our stories. And the way we do that is to come together, not to be apart.
Well, congratulations. It was really nice having you in the podcast. Thank you, Kenneth, for being here with us,
for
opening your hearts and talk about your childhood and all these memories and stories that for sure inspired our community. And we're proud of seeing Latinos rocking it and making it in their dreams.
Thank you. And I want to say that you were awesome.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
See, you don't have to worry about anything.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you're really, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking
And hopefully we can be talking pretty soon again. And
yes,
you
next time we'll do it in Spanish.
I promise you. Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
No, Nena, I'm telling you, next time it's going to be all in Spanish.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much.
That's all for this episode of Juntos We Shine, powered by Target. I'm Karina Banda. Please don't forget to subscribe.